Hola, you're listening to La Chicas del Crime, a podcast where tres amigas sit down and talk all things true crime for Hispanic and American crimes.
This episode of Las Chicas del Crime contains explicit content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
¿Quién somos?
I'm Osa.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Jen.
Y somos las chicas del crime. Woo!
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
I'm doing good, doing good. Tired, but good.
It's good. No long Monday.
It is Monday, madness. And I'm drinking my seltzers because after this, I'm going to go to the gym.
Oh, okay.
It's my third going to the gym.
I'm so proud of you. Get it. About get.
Yes.
Mila, Cage. This dog be all up in my business.
Look.
Girl, I have to put, I have the same water bottle, but it's green and blue.
Where'd you get it? Amazon?
Yeah.
I knew it.
I literally carry this jug everywhere. I don't.
Me too. I look crazy as fuck.
Me too. And I don't drink it all, so I'm not even from the cap. Like, I'm drinking gallons and gallons and gallons of water, but it definitely pushes me to drink more than I would regularly drink.
I'm done.
You know, the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the half gallon, not like the big old gallon one.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, I'm a beast at whatever I put my mind into it. So I put my mind drinking a gallon of water. So it's been a week. Up drinking a gallon of water a day. Some days I do, like, okay, like Saturday we went out to eat for my birthday. Still, oh my god, we're still celebrating my birthday. And like once I got home, obviously I got ready fast and went out to eat. So like after like 7 o'clock, I didn't do it. But like that's just this. And also like before anything, without eating anything, I drink a full water bottle of water with lemon in it, so like my digestive system could get going and popping, which it does. And then I drink like sparkling water with nothing on it. Like it really has nothing but the sparkling. I drink a 32 ounce, so like I drink way more than the gallon that I'm supposed to drink anyway. So, and then when I go to the gym, I'm not gonna fill up that big ass gallon, you know what I'm saying? So I just take like a bottle or two.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
We get it popping. Anyways, I tried my best to keep it a one episode. It's just not gonna happen.
That's okay.
I realized like 10 pages in, I was like, okay, yeah, this is one episode, because yeah. And today. Ooh. We're gonna be talking about one of my favorite serial killers, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Ooh.
Enter the rounds.
And Jeffrey. And my disclaimer, the reason why he's one of my favorite serial killers is because he's very honest about the fact that he was just a sick person. Like, he never tried to blame his family. He never tried to blame his childhood. He never tried to blame anybody else. He was very, like, he said to himself, I'm a monster. And, you know, I did what I did and I was wrong. But, it was all on me. And I feel like that is so different than other serial killers, because other serial killers, they always want to talk about past trauma, about child, which obviously a lot of them did have it, but a lot of other people also have that type of trauma and they don't turn to serial killers. So the fact that he doesn't make excuses for himself is why I really
He's
like
your
him
favorite.
Yeah, and
makes sense.
So we're gonna talk Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer was born on May 21st, 1960.
Oh,
so,
man.
I know. Gemini. First thing I thought about, Gemini. And it's so funny because, like, the 60s to me is my dad. My dad was born in 1960.
My mom,
so, like, the fact that, like, you know, we talk about Jeffrey Dahmer like he's, like, some type of ancient, like, you know, shitty gym, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's crazy. And like some of the victims that got away from him are still alive. Like some of the, he had prior to his like killing spree, he had other victims that we'll talk about. They're still alive. So like Jeffrey Dahmer was like in our time. And I'm guessing like other serial killers were too. But the fact that he was born in 1960 is really what hit me, because that's when my dad was born. So Jeffrey was the son of Lionel and Joyce Dahmer. And he had a younger brother named David. David like later says like, bro, I never knew my brother was like that. Like nothing in me could have ever imagined my brother being a serial killer. Yeah, he was like nothing. He was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where he lived most of his life. He moved to a couple places, and we'll talk about it, and then he ended up going back. Growing up, Jeffrey's mom was a stay-at-home mom slash wife, while his dad was a chemist and a student. And like I was like listening to this book, and like his dad had a PhD in chemistry, like Mance was on his shit. So for a really long time while Jeffrey was growing up, his father wasn't around because he was going to school, and like they moved around a lot because he was kind of looking for schools that would give him free education so he wouldn't have to take out loans. So he kind of just moved around in programs and stuff. So he really wasn't around. Even though they lived in the same household, like he was not around at all. Joyce was a stay-at-home mom and a stay-at-home wife. And although she was able to stay home, the relationship between her and Jeffrey wasn't there because she suffered from depression and had suicidal tendencies, which led her to just kind of like lay in bed all day. And that's really what she was able to do. The only thing she was able to do. She left the kids quite unattended and, you know, kind of abandoned to an extent because she couldn't, you know,
be there for them. With them.
Yes. I read, this is not in like my research lady, but this is a long time ago when I first started learning about him, that he was one of his first like parents' friends' kid. So a lot of people gave him a lot of attention. But once he started moving, those friends obviously didn't move with his dad. So that's when he kind of like lacked the attention. So once Lionel got his PhD, they moved to Ohio, and they had like a pretty good house and a pretty good land. And Jeffrey just had access to both land, animals and stuff, which, you know, we'll talk about in a minute. Even since like from really young, a lot of teachers did sense that there was some type of abandonment in Jeffrey's life, but they kind of couldn't pinpoint because, like I said, they knew that the mom was at home, so, but they probably didn't know their home life. Had a lot of access to like animals and land.
Oh God.
And actually, this house is when Jeffrey started asking his dad like kind of weird questions. One time he asked his dad what would happen to animal bones, a chicken in specific, if they were placed in bleach. Lionel did not find this weird because he was a chemist. So he felt like, oh, maybe he's like into chemistry like me. You know what I'm saying? And he actually taught him how to do it. He taught him how to like dissect animals, how to bleach animal bones and all that good stuff. That
oh, Lord.
Eventually be really into. Yes. So Lionel, like I said, Lionel taught Jeffrey how to preserve bones. And this is what he likes. It is that documented though that Jeffrey did not kill animals. He will only like pick up dead animals and then cut them up and then like see bleach their bones and preserve their bones and stuff.
That's the word, taxidermy. Sorry, I've been trying to sit here the whole time thinking what the hell that is. Sorry.
It's fine. Even though he had never really, like, he never really killed animals to do the preservation bowls and stuff, at 7 years old, he did give his teacher tadpoles, and the teacher re-gifted the tadpoles to Jeffrey's best friend. And then when Jeffrey found out, he poured motor oil to the tadpoles and killed them. But this is, like I said, the only time he actually killed animals.
Oh, my God.
Okay, cool.
Right around this time, so Jeffrey was, like, in the second grade. He was 7 years old. Joyce was, like, spiraling down. She started actually taking drugs. And she separated herself even more from the family. So after that, his childhood, like, was pretty just normal, I mean, in a sense or whatever. So then in the ninth grade, when Jeffrey gets to high school, he goes to his chemistry class, and they have to dissect a pig. Oh, biology, not chemistry, biology class, and they have to dissect the pig, which he does. Hey. But he takes the remaining skeleton home.
Of the pig? That's a, I mean.
Excuse me, sir.
Biology said class? A whole pig? I did a squirrel, and I'm like, okay.
Well, it's like, it was like, it's some type of little pig. It's not like a big pig. It's like a little, little pig.
I'm gonna need Jeffrey to put Wilbur back, okay? Wilbur from Charlotte's Web. I think that's what that was, the pig's name, Wilbur.
I think
maybe I'm wrong. Remember. I don't know,
but I think so, because that's what it sounds like. Yeah, I recognize the name, and I like put it together to the movie, so I think so. So when Jeffrey was in high school, a lot of people said that he was a loner, but he wasn't. He was actually like a prankster. So this comes up in a little bit. Just, he was a prankster. Jeffrey told one of his best friends that he was very interested in what the inside of the animals looked like. And eventually Jeffrey, he didn't tell nobody else this, but he realized that he was sexually stimulated when he saw the animals being cut open, which is a lot.
Oh.
He's like, yeah.
Ooh.
Wowzers. Then Jeffrey, he was pretty young too. At the age of 14, he realized that he was gay. Like he was gay. He never told his family because he was scared that like he would be shunned. And he would have like a lot of like sexual fantasies that he tried to like suppress by drinking alcohol. So by the age of 14,
I thought you were Jeffrey, about to be suppressed by going and doing things to animals. Like,
no, right. Not yet, anyways. So by the age of 14, Jeffrey is sexually stimulated by cutting animals open. He knows he's gay. He has a drinking problem. He can't open up to none of his family about being gay. So he's going through it. High school is
struggling. He's going through it.
That sounds rough. That sounds a little rough there. I didn't know he was gay though, I'm not gonna lie.
He knew, like, he was like, I know I'm gay. I just never told nobody. He was very open about it.
Kind of thing, I guess, for being open, you know.
Around this time, Jeffrey also had a relationship with another boy, but it was never sexual. It was just like, I don't know, like a little regular schmegler.
It was a flang.
14-year-old relationship, a little flang, you know what I'm saying? Flang.
Hello, summer flang.
And Jeffrey's fantasies also grew, and he knew that he wanted a total submissive life partner. And then he changed because he realized that he wanted his partner to be unconscious.
Oh my God.
Okay. How'd that take a turn? What is there ever reasoning behind this?
Not that I've like read about. Just curious. He liked his partners to be submissive, but then he realizes that that's not even what he wants. He just doesn't want, like,
reciprocating energy, I'm guessing, because he doesn't want people to be alive. Like, he does not.
This is exactly why his story makes my stomach turn. Oh my God.
In the definition of wants a body, he just wanted a body.
Literally. Just a corpse. Oh my God. Like he said, I don't even want a pulse.
My man would do really good in 2021 with a full, what is that called? With a booty blaster.
Oh yeah.
He just, you know what I'm saying? He took it too far too early. He would have been fine by now.
Oh my God. I can't believe she said that.
So like I was saying, Jeffrey was like
ow. Oh Jesus, okay.
We're mature. Okay, sorry.
We're mature adults.
I'm a funny gal. I'm a funny guy. What can I say?
Oh my God.
So like I said, Jeffrey had like was a class clown and he had some outlandish pranks. When kids like had a prank that wasn't, you know, Jeffrey's, they would call it pulling a Dahmer. Cause that's like he was like the prankster. He one time took a trip to Washington, D.C. and he called the White House. What he said exactly to the White House, I'm not sure. I don't even know who was the president at that time. It wasn't Reagan.
What years was this? I'm curious.
70, like 75, because he was born in 1960. Oh, it might have been Reagan, huh?
Gerald Ford.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's not as funny. If it would have been Reagan, it would have been really funny.
I think Reagan was the 80s.
The 80s, yeah. Ah, makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, because the crack stuff. Reagan. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, 81 to 89. Yeah, he was 80.
Makes a lot of sense.
Fuck you, Reagan.
But anyways, his prank that made it made me like, yeah, it was really weird. He would draw dead bodies, like lines of dead bodies with chalk. You know how kind of they do like when they're investigating or whatever, like in the movies and stuff.
The frame.
Yeah, that's what he would do all around school.
That is kind of weird.
Well, bro,
I'm kind of bugged out.
Man, like this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. He obviously likes the dead. Why? The Los Muertos must have been his favorite holiday.
His thing. That was his thing. Well, we don't know because we'll get to it. We'll get to it and we'll talk about how.
So he was a necrophiliac, right? Is that what it's called?
Yes. Yes. And a cannibal. He might have not liked it, our kind. So we'll get to it.
Oh.
Our kind. Excuse me? Oh my God. Please continue. Because I don't know everything, but what I do know, go ahead.
So while in high school, he planned his first attack. He will see a guy run by his house every single day. And then he was like, that's who he was very attracted to his chest, which is a thing. Eventually, like a lot of the people he abducts and kills is because he likes their chest. So he was attracted to the guy's chest. That's and he planned to hit him with a bat and, you know, do whatever he wanted to do with him in his house. But the day he went to do it, the guy did not come to run. That's why being lazy pays off. Mm-hmm. Take your day off from the gym.
It's gonna save your life. You think it ain't, but it will.
Sure enough.
Especially if you're about to go around with your chest out.
Put a shirt on, bro.
Shit,
Save yourself. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I just tried to Google to see if there was a word for that, the obsession with the chest. Because, you know, obsession with everything.
It's a word for everything.
Yeah, so I just looked it up. Couldn't find it, but I just wanted y'all to know. Oh, I tried.
Okay, thank you. So once Jeffrey graduated high school in 1978, his parents were like in the middle of the pretty ugly divorce. which also was a had a custody battle. Custody battle in which Jeffrey's parents fought for his brother, but not Jeffrey.
Well, he was 18, no?
Damn.
No, but he was still in high school. He was still in high school.
Oh,
poor guy.
Yeah. He was in high school, and like both of his parents were going hard as fuck for his little brother and not him. They didn't give a fuck.
We're like, we really don't care.
Hey, about that. They're like, sorry. Then
it gets worse because then they both move out of the family home and just leave Jeffrey there.
What?
They just didn't give a fuck about
They dead ass just abandoned him. Ooh, that kind of reminds me of the story that we were talking about earlier, but wow.
Oh, you guys, what? He might have been 18. I think he turned 18 once he graduated high school, because he graduated in 1978. And like, you know how like graduations are usually like in May?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when the custody battle was going on, he was 17.
So yeah, maybe so.
I mean, maybe that's when they were like not going hard for him at all, but still, like, I could fully understand.
I mean, at 18, he's still living at home. Somebody got to take him.
Right.
Yeah. And they got both move out, and nobody's like, hey, do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Get a job.
Nothing. Just
they just dipped.
They gone.
Oh, I'm out.
Yeah, that's real fucked up.
So, trigger warning. We're going to be talking about rape. We're going to be talking about necrophilia. We're going to be talking about death. We're going to be talking about fucking Jeffrey Dahmer.
And if you don't know, now you know. Now you get it now.
Warn and proceed.
Strap it in.
Yellow tape, yellow tape.
A few months after high school, Jeffrey... In June 18, 1978, Jeffrey picked up a hitchhiker named Stephen Mark Hicks with the pretense of going back to his house, drinking, having a good old time. Stephen going with Jeffrey eventually took people by surprise because he was known to be street smart. But Jeffrey had a lot of charisma and charm, and this works out for him a lot later.
Ooh, he stuck him off his feet. Said, okay, I'll comply. Where are we going?
Once they went back to Jeffrey's house, they drank, they hung out, and after a few hours, Steve wanted to go home. Jeffrey just didn't want him to go home. He was like, you're not going home. And he was like, but I want to go home. And he was like, but you're not going home. So after they like kind of wrestled back and forth a little bit, Steven turns around to walk away, and Jeffrey picks up a 10-pound dumbbell and hits him twice in the back of the head, killing him.
Damn.
Yeah, diablo. He said, you definitely not going home today. Well, at all.
Not
ever.
Damn, Daniel.
After this, he undressed him and he played with his chest because that's what he liked. He liked chest. He masturbated it while on top of him and then just kind of left him there.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah. Big yikes. Unlike other serial killers, cleaning the crime scene was stimulative to Jeffrey. I think my man was just horny all the fucking time. Like everything fucking stimulated. The animal, the cleaning, the guy's chest. Like, damn, bro. Didn't like go. Just chill. Stay at home.
The sun came out. My dog was stimulated. Okay. Okay.
Oh my god.
So then the next day Jeffrey dissected Hicks' body and buried him in a crawl space, giving Big John Wayne Gacy vibes.
I was just gonna say not the crawl space.
The crawl space came back around, and it's so funny because that's one of the few things they have in common. And we'll talk about it not on this episode, on the next episode, because this is gonna be like a 3 fucking episode. I'm like, Jeffrey's like 18 right now, and he still has his whole life to go right now. So you know a lot. His whole life to go. He then unburied Hicks' body and skinned him.
Ew.
He put his flesh on acid and flushed like the rest remainings down the toilet. He then like hit all the bones with a sledgehammer, and he scattered the remains, like the little polvito remains, in the family's backyard. Because remember, they have a big backyard.
Oh my God.
What the hell? Oh my goodness, Jesus.
Yo, as you tell all of this, all I keep thinking about is, I feel like I've seen an episode of Criminal Minds about this.
I think so. I think they have a couple of him. Like,
like when you said he was trying to go, and he wouldn't, the dude was Steven, was trying to go, and he wouldn't let him, and then he hit him with a dumbbell. I'm like, I've seen this scene in my head
somewhere. Flashback.
Okay.
So then after his first killing, there was a long cooling period, which is, you know, what serial killers call when they go sometime without needing to kill, because they're killed.
A quick little hiatus.
Yeah, their little last kill was satisfactory enough.
A little vacation.
But even though he had this cooling period, Jeffrey did admit that once it happened the first time, it did seem to control his life.
Oh, interesting.
By this time, his father and his new fiance
come home.
Okay, they haven't even divorced a whole year, and he has a whole not even a girlfriend, a fiance.
Dusty.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dusty.
Okay. Yeah.
They then seen the state that Jeffrey was in, which was, I mean, Jeffrey was a full-blown alcoholic since 14. So he was just, the house was dirty. He was drunk. He wasn't taking care of himself. That's what he was doing. Lionel told Jeffrey that he needed to go to work and go to school. So Jeffrey then enrolled to Ohio State University with a major in business. But school was not for him because he had a 0.045 GPA.
Oh my God. That boss will not even show up to the class. Like, what?
Bro.
Yo, I never knew he was a black guy. That's crazy. Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, like nada.
My woman doesn't even turn in assignments.
To the first hour of the first class.
And the only reason why he had that GPA, like the little GPA he has, because he had a B in one of his classes. Like the only classes he was passing was one, and it was with a B.
It was probably some like science or biology class.
But I honestly didn't jot it down. I should have jotted it down because that would have been funny. A little
fun. Yeah, probably teaching him how to like even do this shit more, how to do a better and shit.
So then on a random day, Lionel stopped by his dorm and found Jeffrey drunk off his ass in his dorm, which was full of liquor bottles. And he was like, what are you doing?
My dog was living on door. He's the oldest money. Just going on the train.
Oh, hold on. Because it gets worse. You brought up the money and I'm so glad. So after only 3 months, Jeffrey dropped out of school, although his dad had paid two full terms in advance.
Oh, no.
What?
My man was failing from the beginning.
Damn, he had high hopes for his son, though.
Facts. Failed him from the jump.
He did, and there's like a couple of interviews with him, and he was like, once I knew that I neglected Jeffrey as a child, so once he grew up, I wanted to help him as much possible, so that's what I was trying to do. It just didn't work, you know?
Yeah,
After this failure, Jeffrey's dad, Lionel, was like, you need to join the military, because this ain't where it's at, and he did. In January of 79, he joined the military, and summer of 79, Jeffrey was deployed to Germany. He's out. Peace. Overseas. Europe. Bye.
I never knew he was in the military.
Me neither.
And he was an above average soldier. They didn't have no complaints about him.
What?
But later they did. Oh. After they didn't, later they did.
That changes.
He was actually honorable discharged after 2 years because he didn't comply with the policy of like no use of drugs and alcohol. Sure. this is weird that he got his honorable discharge because there was accusation of Jeffrey raping at least 2 soldiers while on deployment, and also 5 men were missing and found mutilated right around the base that he had been in.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Did do it.
Some people speculate that it was Jeffrey, but then some people are like, oh, that, you know, there's so many serial killers, especially at the time, that it could have been somebody else. But the reason why I think it could have been him, because even though it's not his MO, the fact, well, first of all, mutilating corpses is his MO. And then because he was living in base, he couldn't take them back to the base. So he couldn't do the rest of his process, but he could pretty much, like, you know what I'm saying, like take them to the woods and cut them up and leave them somewhere.
Right, and get his little high off mutilating them, and then all right,
because he liked that.
Back to the base it is,
and also, but also a lot of people say that it's not true because Jeffrey was very open about, like, you know, his issues and the people that he killed. So when he confessed, he didn't say, and he said that he didn't kill nobody overseas. But he also didn't admit to the rape of the 2 military men. And that actually happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm
going to try to link there's an interview with both of the victims. And I didn't get too much into it because, you know, if you want to learn about them, like, they have, it was a really good interview. They're still alive. They're still giving, you know, their truth, so I might as well let them tell it. So I'll link it. Okay. His first rape victim was Billy Joe Capshaw. He said that he was a bunkie with Jeffrey, and Jeffrey would constantly rape him for about 6 months. He said he never came forward while in the military because he came from a really long line of military men, and he didn't want to seem as, you know, soft.
Yeah. Ooh. Wow.
His second victim was Preston Davis. He said that he very much believed that Dahmer had drugged and raped him. And he actually reported the incident, but was ignored.
Wow. Wow.
So Dahmer was never dubbed a rapist while he was in the military. And obviously, they never looked into the killings, and they gave him the honorable discharge because none of these things ever, like, went through, which is bullshit.
Wow.
Annoying.
Jeffrey was discharged on March 1981, and they were like, you could get a ticket anywhere you want to the United States. And he was like, you know what? I want change of scenery. I don't want to go back to Ohio. It's cold. I'm in Germany. It's cold over here. I want some sun. So he came to nowhere else than the Sunshine State and was living in Miami.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
There are some people missing from Miami, Florida, around the time that Jeffrey was in town. But he was never a suspect. The only time his name was brought up in the abduction of anybody was the abduction of Adam Walsh, who is Mr. America's Most Wanted son. Yeah. And that they dismissed that because it was Otis something, the serial killer that killed him. And the killing did not fit his MO, as they did end up finding Adam Walsh, eventually his whole body. So, you know, it was at a mall. Like, it had nothing to do with him. It was just, he was somebody who liked it kids. So they, which, oh, we're going to get to that because, anyways. So then while in, I kind of go back and forth and I don't know why. While in Miami, he gets a job at a sandwich shop, and he was actually doing pretty good there. He had a hotel room, like a, you know, weekly hotel room, but eventually his drinking took over. And when he didn't have a job, he would sleep sometimes in the beach, but
the best though.
Then he was like, this is not my life. Like, I need a home. So he called his dad, and his dad flew him back up to Ohio.
Then he went back to the...
He said, bye.
He said, adios, Miami is not for me. Once back in Ohio, he went to live with his dad and his stepmom. And at first it went well for a couple months. Jeffrey was doing his chores, looking for a job. Well, quote unquote, looking for a job, because he was not. The time when he was supposed to be looking for a job, he was out day drinking at parks randomly.
What the hell?
So a couple weeks after, he was arrested for disorderly drinking and got a $60 fine. And his dad was like, all right, bro, like you be doing too much. You got to go home to your grandma, because his grandma was the only person that showed him love and affection. So his dad was like, oh, you know, living over there is going to do him some good because you respect grandma. You know, you don't be playing with grandma. You respect grandma.
Right.
And at first he was doing really good. Yeah, he was doing really good. He was living by her rules. He would help her with chores. He would go to church with her. He even had a whole job for 10 months at a plasma center.
Wow.
Yeah, because when he was in the military, he was like a military medic. So that's why they because his military career.
No. He was a military medic and doing all these things, he probably was also like getting aroused and turned on and doing all these things on all these people.
Yep. While at the plasma center, this is really gross, so just bear with me. He took a little vial of blood.
I know it.
And he drank it.
Oh. I'm a vampire.
Yeah. Oh my god, I just watched this new vampire movie on Netflix and it was actually kind of cool. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Really cute guy. Like, who's super cute? Sorry. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
I need to watch that.
19th. Call 19. I got this little cute Chico boy. He was cute.
So even though he was like being good with grandma, he still drank and smoked because that was his thing. So after the 10 months that he was working at the plasma center, he was let go. Not because anything he did, he was like the job ended, and he was unemployed for 2 whole years living off grandma's money. What about?
Yo, you don't abuse grandma like that. He freaking
a bum. Bum.
He party
president bum. Of the bums.
You don't do that. You just don't do that.
So then he finally landed another job at a chocolate factory, and he worked the third shift, so the night shift.
Chocolate.
He was working at the chocolate factory, and where he was living at in Milwaukee, they had a whole bunch of festivals. And in the festivals, he once went out and then like showed his little wee wee to like a crowd of people. And this was on August 7th of 82. He was arrested for a sex crime, but then for whatever reason brought the charges down to a disorderly conduct. So nothing came off of it.
Oh, okay.
Tell me about it.
So, Jeffrey was like, you know what? I need to do something about these fantasies, because he still has these fantasies. He already killed one time. He already raped some people. You know, he's the whole nine is going on. And he started frequenting gay clubs and bath clubs.
Like B-A-T-H or B-A-C-K?
B-A-T-H. Why would they
be? Oh, what? I was like, what? Oh, I heard bath. And I was like, is this the kind of club where, you know, it's all happening in the back? I'm just...
Well, it... Yes,
they all get it in from the back.
But I'm it's bath. Bath. And, okay. And like, it was kind of like a low-key scene for gay people. And... you had to have a membership, like all the good, cool stuff for normal people.
Okay.
But consensual sex was not his thing. He wanted a totally submissive partner, but a consenting submissive partner just did not do it for him. So Jeffrey, you know, he was like, well, since this doesn't do it for me, I need to have them sleeping. So then he started drugging people and raping them. A lot of these people obviously didn't go to the cops because of, you know, where they were at, and they were probably going to judge them and stuff. But they did go to, like, the owners of the clubs, and his membership was revoked, and he was blacklisted from the bathhouses. Oh, so then one day, he was walking downtown. What is that song called?
Making My Way Downtown.
He was making his way downtown, and he saw a mannequin whose chest he was attracted to. Yeah. Stop. But you know what, though? Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you. He stole the mannequin, and he was using it as a sexual device. Okay. Because it didn't move. Like, it was immobile. It was pretty much dead, and he loved that. But
it does make sense, though.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Grandma found the mannequin and was like, "Yeah, you gotta get rid of that. Like, that shit is not cool on my house." But I feel like, damn, Grandma, how you let him like have that? He probably would have kept killing and stuff because he would have had his little mannequin.
Definitely all the mannequins in the world over.
Yeah, let them the whole live in house the mannequin house. When Grandma found the mannequin, he was like, "Yo, you gotta throw it away." And he did. He didn't fuss with Grandma. He was like, "All right, Grandma, I'll throw it away." So, this is when he moved forward with, like, kind of necrophiliac acts. Like, he's like, so Jeffrey used to do these things where, like, he would, like, okay, something didn't work out for him. And then he will sit down and think, like, okay, what is going to work out for me? Like, back to the drawing board. The mannequin didn't work out. The bathhouses didn't work out. So one day he woke up, was eating breakfast with his grandma, and he was reading the newspaper. And in the newspaper, he saw an itinerary of a young dead man. And it gave him an idea. And he was like, you know what? I want to have sex with a dead person. I don't want to kill them. So let me go. He's like, let me go dig this motherfucker up. Because I don't want to kill nobody, but I want to have sex with a dead body.
What the fuck?
He tried twice and he failed twice because that shit is hard as fuck. You cannot just unbury a body by yourself night to have sex with it. Like,
bro, the fact that he tried two times, though.
So disturbed.
I mean, he was
because once wasn't enough.
He was not a giver-upper, I'll tell you that. Because
Billy was not a giver-upper and tried to be a picker-upper. Ha, ha, ha.
I'm so done. I'm so done.
Oh, my God. That was really funny. Yeah, good job. Good job. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
So then he went back to his little drawing board and was like, how can I get to a body without killing it? And he was like, a morgue. I'm going to have to break into a morgue. But then he was like, oh, no. I'm scared. I don't want to break into a morgue. I'm scared of being caught breaking into a morgue. He was scared to break into somewhere, but not a kill. Not to have sex with a fucking dead body. Let's not a rape.
Right.
Just Jeffrey and his drawing board was not working.
The board was broken.
You know what?
The board.
He drew his plans in paper like Eminem used to write his raps when he was coming.
Oh my God.
And that just none of them made sense. Oh, so later on in September 6th of 86, he went to a place called the KK River. This is where he found two boys and he masturbated in front of them. The boys reported to the police and he was arrested. Oh. But once again, his charges were dropped from lewd and lascivious to disorderly conduct.
Let's address the fact that once again, police could have stopped something from getting worse, and they didn't.
Oh, we're going to get to that later, and you guys are going to be fucking livid.
They've already done it twice, so let's keep tally.
Oh, we're going to... Okay, let's keep tally, because let's put it on his drawing board. Oh, I can't wait to tweet about the drawing board. So he was put in probation for 1 year, but his probation officer never went to see him. So he just literally like was on like paper probation. He never checked in or nothing.
He was on timeout.
Timeout, yeah. Timeout from nothing because he was still being drunk and whatever. Right after, actually, like right after he got off probation, because September 15, 87, he met Steve Toomey. Jeffrey asked Toomey to come to this like 5-star hotel. Toomey was gay. Like they met at a gay club. Toomey was impressed because, you know, 5-star hotel. Like, you're going to bring me to a 5-star hotel. Hey, hey. And I agreed.
Big purr.
Jeffrey later states that he only wanted to drug and rape him. You know, just simple shit.
Only.
Drug and rape. Only. That's just
the basic Daniel package.
Oh my god.
The basic works.
Exactly. Like when you go
the get minimum.
Pedicure. You want basic pedicure or you want deluxe?
Pick your color. But then after, you know, I can't remember if I believe that they had consensual sex. Don't quote me on that because for whatever reason I write it down, but I think most of the adults that he takes home did have consensual sex at first, and then, you know, he did what he did.
Upgraded her,
but yeah, you know, exclusive
VIP.
VIP. Jeffrey said he blacked out, and when he woke up, Toomey was dead. His chest was carved in. From like a beating or whatever. Panicking, Jeffrey put a do not disturb little sign thing outside of the hotel. Cause remember, they're in the hotel room. Wow. He left to purchase a bag for a luggage. And at first he thought he was gonna have to cut up Toomey in the bathtub, but he got lucky. Luggage was big enough to fit all of Toomey inside.
No big deal.
No big deal.
I have nightmares tonight.
Oh my god, hold on, because it gets worse. I have a nightmare about this man.
I am Jeffrey in a strange house. I'm gonna have nightmares.
Oh. Jeffrey then calls a cab because he doesn't have a car, and to take him to his grandmother's house. The car driver helped them put the luggage into the car.
Oh my god!
My gosh!
No, he was.
Because yeah, I also didn't know, you know, he didn't know what was in there. So poor guy.
This gives me. You guys seen that show on Netflix? Don't fuck with the cats.
Oh yes. No, I keep hearing about it.
This is giving me don't fuck with the cat vibes with the luggage. Oh my god, you have to watch it.
Yeah, watch brace it. Yourself though. But yes.
So. This is the first time that Jeffrey actually has intercourse with a dead body. So he has upgraded, you know, the Lux package, necrophilia.
Damn. And he got it at the house. So he just big chilling with it.
Big chilling with it. He also masturbated on top of it, just like he had with Steven Hicks. And he disposed of Toomey's body the same way he had done Steve. Yet, unlike Hicks, Jeffrey kept Toomey's head and genitals.
What?
Did he put him in that liquid, like in a jar, or like...
Oh, we're
like,
going to get to it.
Formaldehyde.
Oh. He bleached the head to preserve it and used it for a masturbation toy later.
Oh, my God.
My goodness. Okay.
What the hell?
Around this time, Lionel, the father... was a little bit worried about Jeffrey. So he was like, I'm going to look into your room to see what the fuck you have going on there, because you be in your room too much. Your grandma's complaining about you. And he found a box. In this box, Toomey's head was in it.
Oh, my God.
But Jeffrey used his little charm and told his dad that the box was full of porn. He got his dad out of the room, took the head out, put porn in the box, and then showed him the box.
Wow.
I cannot do. Cannot do.
Jeffrey says that this is when he, like, completely lost it. He was like, I just didn't care to contain my fantasies, my urges, my killings. I always tried. It didn't work. I'm done trying. Like, I'm done. It's done. It's through. So he says that he knew he had charisma, enough charisma to get a second chance from most people, and he always used that to his advantage. And he
manipulator.
Being manipulator. In 1988, Jeffrey goes into full serial killer mode, because he felt like he had learned enough from his two killings that he could have, like, you know, more victims, and he could do this all the time. Where is he going to do this, you ask? Don't ask, because it's at grandma's house.
Why got to bring your grandma into this, man?
Okay.
Also, let's talk about Granny, because I think Granny was the only person from his family who knew he was gay, and we'll talk about it why later, but I do have that feeling that she knew. She just, you know, was kind of accepting him until, like, obviously everything came out. In January 1988, Jeffrey went to Club 2019, which was a gay bar, and he was gonna go, like, find another victim. But before getting into the bar, he found 14-year-old James Dunnockstor. Who was, quote-unquote, prostituting himself. And I hate using that word because he was only 14, which is statutory rape. But the research just was like he was prostituting himself, which we don't agree in with.
Right.
Yeah.
Under the being pimped on voluntarily. Yes.
Exactly. Right. Trafficking.
Trafficking. He was being sexually trafficked. Yeah.
Correct.
So Jeffrey offered him money for a nude photo shoot, and they went back to his grandma's house. They drank. They had, quote unquote, consensual sex. Jeffrey raped them. Like, he wasn't of age to consent, so Jeffrey raped them. And, so he rapes them. I think I told you guys I was going to talk about it. So I always knew about Jeffrey Dahmer and stuff, like, the mist of it. And I always found him, like, very interesting because, you know, he is a necrophiliac. He, obviously, he's drinking blood, so he is a whole cannibal. Like, he kept, you know, body parts. He didn't have any traumatic experiences as a child. So, like, you know what I'm saying? All of that, I used to always think it was very interesting. And I will read over stuff. Like, I will watch documentaries, because I don't like watching documentaries as a whole. Like, I'll be on my phone and watch it. So I kind of, like, I'm listening to it. And all the documentaries I've ever seen, anything that I've ever seen, they were always like, oh, young man, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer killed and raped young men. They were kids. I mean, he was 14. He's a kid.
Right. That is not a young man.
So it's not a young man. He's a child. He's a teenager. And I feel like some people, like me, I used to think, like, you know, I think Jeffrey was just misunderstood. He wanted to be loved because he wanted the whole person to not leave there. When you put kids into it, once you add all this shit, Jeffrey was sick as fuck.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Jay was drugged, strangled, and then his corpse was violated. And, like the previous two victims, James' body was dissected, put in bleach, made into powder with a sledgehammer, and flushed down the drain.
Wow.
2 months later, he went back to Club 2019 looking for another victim, and he found another boy who had the same destiny as all the other boys.
That's so crazy that they had named that club 2019, because obviously back then it was like futuristic. Right. And we don't pass 2019 already. That's just
it was like mind fucking. I thought so too when I heard it. That's why I named the club, because I thought that was cool. So April 23rd, 1988, Jeffrey met a man named Ronald Flowers at a gay bar. He brought him back to his grandma's house. Jeffrey drugged them, and as he went to kill him, Jeffrey's grandma got up and was like, "Hey, Jeff, remember you're not allowed to have visitors at night." Jeffrey realized that obviously grandma was awake, and he could not kill grandma. No, not grandma. He could not kill Ronald because grandma was going to hear him. So he opted to get a cab and take Ronald to the hospital, because the dosage that he had used of drugs was like a lot and had Ronald in a bad state. Once Ronald got better, he went to the police, but the police did not take him seriously because they didn't want to be involved in a domestic situation. Okay,
so three. That's cool. Three times.
Later on in September of 88, Jeffrey and grandma decided that it was better if Jeffrey just went his own way, because he was wilding.
Yes, part your ways. I'm so glad that grandma gets away from this unharmed and not involved. Thank goodness.
Grandma said, "Boy, get the fuck out." Jeffrey found a small apartment at 808 North 24th Street, which was located in a rough area of town. But it was walking distance from his job, so he was like, "This is where I'm going to be." Anyways, Jeffrey was not worried about much. He was fucking dissecting people and flushing their flesh down the toilet. He was not worried about people. The day after he moved in, he met a 13-year-old child by his apartment. He offered him $50 for nude photos. And of course, like, it was a bad part of town, so a lot of these kids were trying to get it. You know what I'm saying? So the kid agreed. He went back to his apartment, and he had a sip of the drink that Jeffrey had gave him. And the boy felt a little, like weird, so he up and left. He went to his parents, and he was like, "I don't feel good." His parents then took him to the hospital, and after being treated, the hospital called the cops. The kid was like, "Yeah, I got drugged, but I remember exactly what apartment it was, like all of that stuff." So they go to Jeffrey's apartment, but Jeffrey wasn't there. And then they go to his job, and they actually arrest him at his job. Crazy. He was charged with the exploitation of a minor and second-degree sexual assault.
Wow.
Jeffrey was convicted and sentenced to an eight-year suspended sentence after he has served a year in county jail, with 5 years following probation. Damn, so because Jeffrey was, even though he was already sentenced and stuff, he was waiting to see like what was gonna happen next. So he moved back into grandma's house because he can't be on his own. And grandma was like, "You can't drink, you can't bring people over, like you need to be good." But nothing changed. Jeffrey lived the lifestyle that he liked, and that's all he did. So on March 29, 1989, Jeffrey meets a man named Anthony Sears, who was a part-time model. So when Jeffrey offered him money for a photo shoot, he agreed. They drank. They had consensual sex because he was of age. Then Jeffrey killed and raped his corpse. Jeffrey dismembered Anthony, flushed his flesh on the toilet, smashed the bones up with a hammer, and like two means, he kept Anthony's head and genitals.
Lord.
But he said he had learned from his past mistakes, and Toomey's head had actually decomposed faster because of the bleach. So he did not bleach Anthony's head. He actually hid it in his work locker.
Oh my God.
What the hell?
Work where they made chocolates. Because remember, he works at a chocolate factory.
Oh my God.
So while all this was happening, Jeffrey's punishment included work release, meaning that Jeffrey could go to work every day and come back to jail at night.
Oh, wow. What?
Yeah.
They don't do that no more, do they?
I know they do like work release, but I think it's after you serve your time. Like you serve your time, you go to a halfway home, and halfway then you have house, work release there. Yeah. And then Wallace, he was like in this half-assed jail time. He didn't victimize anyone else, but like, damn, bro, like that would be a lot if you had. And I'm going to leave it here because the next episode, we will talk about Jeffrey's first prison stay and the allegations of him possibly being a racist and how some of his killings were could have been racially motivated.
Terrible.
And that, my ladies, is my notes on Jeffrey, the Milwaukee Cannibal Dahmer.
Interesting. Learned some things from that one that I didn't know.
Yeah, I also never knew it was from Milwaukee.
You know I come in with the facts.
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
I come in sure with do. All the facts. So I think it's going to be a two-parter. It might be a three-parter because I like, you know, to keep it a year. An hour long.
A year long.
An hour long.
A long episode.
And we have, I mean, we've only been through three or four victims, and there are 17.
Damn.
And then, like, he progressively gets a little bit worse and worse every time. So, kind of like,
wow.
Mm-mm. But this is a good episode so far. Good start.
Serious.
What I does.
Thank you for listening to Las Chicas del Crime. We hope you join us next time for another episode full of crime y chisme. Give us a follow on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which we will list on the description of this episode. Please also rate our show and leave us a review, as that helps bring awareness to our podcast. We appreciate it. Gracias.